Don't give him a base. Let's start from the third line down, fourth line down. Shmuel Amar. Now, we're talking about here a woman who was married to one man, and an aide came to Chutzlart and said her husband died, and Basin allowed her to get remarried to somebody else, and she married somebody else, and then her first husband came back, and she has to get divorced from both, and she loses all rights and privileges from both, and the children are mamzerim from both. Everything goes wrong for her. So why is that? The question is, why does the second one have to divorce her? I mean, obviously she was never really married to the second one, right? Because the first one came back. So Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Omrani, I say, now not really I say, but we're afraid of Maris Ayin here. Maybe people will think that she got a get from the first husband, that the first husband sent her a get from Chutz Loretz. So therefore, we make her get divorced from the second husband as well, lest people think that was a valid marriage. Hasib Rabbi Chagai Kumiziris, or Kumi Rabbi Ziris, Rabbi Chagai asked Rabbi Zira, Vatina, didn't we learn? Amrullah Beis Baalech. They said to a woman, your husband died. Now here it's been niskatsho. You have to stress that word. And the Mishnah talks about after Nisuin. And this Brisa talks about after only Kiddushin. So she never actually consummated the marriage with the second guy. V'chakach ba ba'ala, and then her husband comes back. Muteris lachsolo. In the case where it's only Erusin and not Nisuin, she can go back to the first husband, right? Now that's the Brisa. So the question is, if you're going to say that her first husband sent her a get for Chutz Loretz, so she should be forbidden to go back to the first husband, regardless of whether the second marriage was a marriage of Kiddushin or a marriage of Nisuin, that should be considered, because of Maris Ayin issues, like somebody who divorced his wife, she got married to somebody else, and then she goes back to her first husband, which is a no-no, right? So therefore, she shouldn't be allowed to go back if we're afraid that the first husband, again, people get the impression the first husband sent her a divorce. So says the Gemara, El Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Let's say maybe this bride is going to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur Omar, Erusin Muteris. If she got divorced she was divorced, then got betrothed to the second person, then ended the betrothal by a get, she's allowed to go back to the first husband. Whereas Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur holds, it's only after nisuin to another husband that she can't go back to the first husband. But after kiddushin to another husband, she could go back to the first husband.
That's like the Brisa.
Right, that's like the Brisa. So let's say the Brisa is going to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Doesn't want to know that won't work. V'lomodi Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Didn't Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur concede, Shim nosan lo achron get pasla mina kahuna. It says the Rabbi Yosef Kippur holds that if the second guy gives her a get, then she's possible from the kuna because she was mikudeshes, and that she got a get from the second guy. But Ninan, yet we learned here, avo pishenosu la'achron get lo posa min akuna. Here it says that if the second guy to whom she was erroneously married gave her a get, she's not posa min akuna. Now again, according to Rabbi Yosef Kippur, even an erroneous marriage, even whether her husband was the first husband was thought to be dead, to not to be dead, right? And then she got married to a second guy, betrothal, not kiddushin, not nisuin. Then if she gets divorced, the second divorce is only for looks; it's pro forma, but it's enough to make her possible a kahuna. Yet here we see there's a pro forma divorce, and the Brisa says it doesn't make her possible a kahuna. So this Brisa can't be like Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur.
Is there such a thing as a divorce for Kiddushin?
Yeah, sure. Kiddushin requires a divorce. Here the Kiddushin was not a proper Kiddushin, but even still requires a divorce. Okay? Because here, they're really... she's really married first guy, right? So it says, but the Abishna Rabban Kesar Mishim Rabbi Hilo. So Rabban Kesar, the name Rabbi Hilo, said, you know, Kidei Levar Yisuro Shall Rishon. But the truth is that our Mishnah is in order to clarify that she's forbidden to the first fellow, and that's only Chazal decided to draw a distinction between where she was married to the second guy only by kiddushin and married to the second guy with nisuin. And when she was married to the second guy with nisuin, then she needs a get to clarify that she can't go back to the first guy. However, if she only was got kiddushin to the second guy, she doesn't require a get from him, and that's why she can go back to the first one. So in fact, the price of mishnah can be reconciled. Chazal made their gzeira to show how severe the prohibition for her to go back to the original husband was, only where she was niseis to the second husband. Now she only is niskacha. Now the reason for this, Chazal, we said already on top of the page, the first line says, knas konsubah shetei bodekas yofeh. They made her really stringent order that she should check up before she gets remarried. So Chazal only gave that total stringency when she got nisuin to the second guy. Because I've shown her got kiddushin to the second guy without nisuin, that shows that she hesitated to go all the way. But when she goes all the way and she has nisuin with him, then Chazal said, fine, you want to go ahead, but we're going to throw the book at you if things go wrong. Because you have to be very sure what's going on. So that's why we made, when nisuin comes around, we gave a get, in order to make sure that everybody knows she's also go back first one. They changed the combination.
I'm stuck out there pressing 542 going, what is going on?
They changed it today.
Today, of course. Today. Figures. Yeah. They probably changed it like a minute before I was ready
no,
to
No, they announced it this morning.
And I was waiting for you, but I figured
yeah. 423.
Well, my son became a chosen.
Oh,
Thursday night. That's why I went to New York. New York.
No, not one. It's
thank you.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov. To?
A Chicago girl.
To a girl.
I had to go to New York through Chicago.
Well, who's she's that? In Stern and he's in YU.
Yeah.
Her name is Rebecca Varney.
Varney. And
she was my daughter's class.
Really?
She's a school girl.
Right, school girl. Or a Torah.
And when they get married?
June 25th. Right.
In New York?
No. Here. Either or be square, as they say.
Oh, very nice. Huh? You have a lot of nachas.
Amen. Thank you.
Is there a board? Are we having a party? Is there...
Yes. Well, maybe the date's going to be changed, because as I was walking out the door, they were talking about possibly changing it. But right now, it's scheduled for Saturday night, Thanksgiving weekend at the home of the Kalo, which is it's Keeler and Greenwood.
By Thanksgiving weekend, they'll let us know where
I'll let you know closer.
Okay, very nice. We've had a lot of atzlach and bracha. Okay, we are so in any event, what we just got through saying is that when a girl is it's not appropriate, not a great gemara to discuss context of engagement. When you have a woman who was married to her first husband, she thought her first husband died, she was told her first husband died, then she got married to a second husband, then her first husband comes back. So it depends what quality of marriage she had to the second husband. If the second husband she got full nisuin, so we throw the book at her, she's got to get divorced with a get from both of them, and she's up the creek. She loses everything she had in the world in both relationships, and all the kids around them are mzerim. It's very bad, very bad scene. But if all she had to the second guy was kiddushin, not nisuin, so then she can go back to the first husband without a get. She doesn't need a get from the second husband. Okay. So now the Gemara says we're talking about Ad Kedun. We're up to Ad Kedun.
And what's the case? And she didn't know her husband was
She thought he was dead because right. They told her he was dead. It was a mistaken
right.
impression.
So why did she lose everything?
Because it's a fine. Chazal threw the book at her in order to make her afraid that she should be doubly, triply sure before she gets remarried.
Even though at least he gave her permission to remarry.
Right. No. We're going to talk about that. So yeah, life is tough. So so now we're 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 lines at the bottom. Ad kedum yadashesh. Now our mishnah, which says we throw the brook at her, is when she knew she was married to her first husband. Then should we throw the brook at her if she gets married to the second husband and comes out that it was no good? Let's just say she didn't know. Now, what's your case? case where her father married her off when she was a youngster and she never knew about it. The Shmini Me'adot here from this case. Katana Shisiyavia, a young girl who was married off by her father. Skip the next word in your scripture, it's incorrect. V'holchad, she went to Yisiyas Atzma and married herself off a second time. Right? Which is really the same case in our Mishnah, but she had no way of knowing. So what's the status there? Vam Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Ila said, concerning this case, here it also should say, but so he brings a proof. All the arayas, if she has licentious relations with anybody, while she's married to somebody, she's married to X, she has licentious relations with Y. So she doesn't require a get from Y except for two cases. Except for one case. Except for the case where she was an Ashes Ish beforehand, and now has relations with another guy, thinking that she's off the hook. Okay, in other words, she thought it wasn't a problem because she was under the impression that her husband was dead. So in that case, she needs a get from the second guy. That's a unique case. Other than any other case, she doesn't need a get, right? Rabbi Akiva Omer Afachos Ishto. If somebody marries his wife's sister without knowing that it's his wife's sister, right? He didn't know. Right? He thought it was a foreigner. So it would be his wife's sister. So she too needs a get. He marries his wife, his brother's wife, without knowing it was his brother's wife, or thinking that that was the case where even was permitted, and then it turned out it wasn't, then it needs a get as well. So says the one, Shani Tamon Ben Yodas Ben Eino Yodas. Is there any difference made there between whether she knows or not? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hila, they didn't draw any distinctions between whether she knew or didn't know, right? No difference made, right? Here too, Loshan Ben Yodas Ben Lo Yodas. Does make them, she knows that she doesn't know, she is usur, meaning tough. Right? Whether she was aware of her first marriage or not aware of her first marriage, and then she gets married to somebody else, right? Thinking that either that her first husband is dead or that there was no first marriage because she was a minor. So she's tough luck. They throw the book at her.
Where did they get it from?
The Rabbonah, they made it up. That's the way it is.
So
okay.
It's like that case, the guy in Montreal.
Yeah, it's like the case of Kedusha Ketana, right? Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Now, below Peros, it says in the mission that she doesn't have Peros. What does it mean? Shulam Rabbi Avina she'eni chol lotzimim mero achilas Peros shachah. Whatever Peros, the second husband ate off of her estate, whatever fruit he ate, tough on her. Chadatei v'shachah shalom barishan. However, it's only what the second husband ate until the first husband came back. Avlamim yishabar rishon motzia. But if he ate stuff after the first husband got back, then that stuff she can take back, because then by that time the marriage is over. The moment the first husband reappears on the scene, the second marriage is over. So therefore, whatever fruit he ate after that was not permissible, and therefore she can sue for that back. Vim nato mizel mizatachzor. Now whatever she takes from them, she's got to give back, because she's not entitled to food from them. Now here it's the opposite. It's only what she took when the first guy came back already. She has no right to take from either of them, because each one of them must divorce her. But what she took while she was still under the mistaken impression that she was the lawfully wedded wife of the second guy, right? Just like she can't get it out of him what he ate during that time, so too he can't get out of her what she ate during that time. Okay? For Vlad Mamzer Mizem, we said, the Vlad is a Mamzer from both of them. Nicho Vlad Mamzer Minashen. I understand that from the second guy, the kid is a Mamzer, obviously because she was married to the first guy all along. But Vlad Mamzer Minarishon, the Vlad is also Mamzer from the first guy. How come? Right? Bobashem Rabbi Zira, so Amar Rabbi Akiva, it's like Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva Amar, Habas Otoso have Vlad Mamzer. If you have relations with your wife after she was adulterous, so the child is a mamzer. That's because it's a lot to have relations with your wife after she was adulterous, right? Oh, right. And Rabbi Akiva says that even the result of union, which falls under the prohibition of a negative command, a lot, which is not susceptible to the death penalty, is enough to make the kid a mamzer. So our mission is like Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, similarly, Rabbi Akiva holds, if you were married to a woman, divorced her, she married somebody else, and then you took her back, if you have relations with her, she has a kid, according to Rabbi Akiva, the kid is a mamzer. Says Mar, no, not true. Rabbi Yitzchak said, in both of these cases, if you have relations with a sota, have relations with the child, with your divorcee who you took back, so the kid is okay. That, in fact, the Yushur the Bavli says as well, that the kid is okay. The reason why the kid is okay is because even Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's certain types of forbidden relations which don't generate mamzerus. For example, nida. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that when it's relations with his wife who's a nida, it's not a mamzer, right? And so, Tia, these are command, these are not arias. It says here that the Mepharshim bring down from the Bavli, then the Bavli says there's no, the same type of tumah which prevails in an arayah situation doesn't prevail in the extrinsic prohibition one has not to have relations with a sota or not to have relations with a machzir grushasa, right? This is kind of like a side prohibition. It's not an Arias prohibition.
But he's considered like an out-of-wedlock child. Or
yeah, but that's, there's no deficit.
Monster,
right, there's no deficit in out-of-wedlock child.
Stigma to the child,
but
not a monster.
Right, but it's not a mamzerus in any way, shape, or form. It's not even stigma to the child. And there's no stigma in out-of-wedlock children in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no stigma. It's not like Christianity. So, amen. So says the Gemara, the child from the first guy, mamzer, zeret rabbona, right? It's a zeret rabbona, just like her, she needs a get for the first guy, even though it's not her fault that she went to marry the second guy, she was really, you know, misled. So too, her mamzer is a mamzer de rabbona. Interestingly, as long as she's still married to the second guy, but let's say after, she's supposed to get divorced from both of them, right? But let's say she only got divorced from the second guy, went back to her first husband, which she's not supposed to do. So the kid at that point is not a mamzer, right? Because the takana de rabbanan was only on that interval when she was having relations with the second guy, despite the fact that her first husband was alive. Okay? Or, if at that time, she had relations with the first guy, despite the fact that she hadn't yet gotten her divorce from the second guy. But once she gets a divorce from the second guy, if she goes back to the first guy, although that's forbidden, the kid is not a mamzer at that point.
What if she wants to divorce the first guy and stay married?
She can't. Because she's also then, because he was had adulterous relations with her, even though he was unaware. Says Gemara, Manafi Minya, what's interesting, the two opinions? Whether the problem is that whether we hold Rabbi Akiva holds that Abola Soita the kid is a mamzer, or whether we hold that it's a pugzer de rabbana. The case is this case which I just talked to you about. Nosel Hasheni get, the second guy gave her a get. V'achakach bol le'arishon, and then the first guy had relations with her. Al daitid Rabbi Bo b'shem Rabbi Zira, according to Rabbi Bo, named Rabbi Zira, who holds that Rabbi Akiva says that the child born of a sota is a mamzer, havlad mamzer, Rabbi Akiva. She wants a sota, always sota. She had adulterous relations, she's always permanently forbidden to you. Al daitid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shim Hila, who says it's only Xavier the Rabbanan, and she's not considered to have the child of the soul does not consider it to be a mamzer. The real kovlan kosher, once she gets divorced from the second guy, the relations she has with the first guy, even though forbidden, do not produce a mamzer. Okay? Lo zev esem metami lo. If either one of them is a kohen, they can't go to her funeral. Sure, they're happy to see her go. But hotahi the tire of Chia. That's what Rabbi Chia said. The Tami Adam Lishdok Sher, a person goes to the funeral of his woman, of his wife who was kosher. The Tami Lishdok Psul, he can't go to the funeral of his wife who was posel. He's Tani Tetzib Shloshah Sardoga. There's a certain Tanoim, we enumerate 13 things, 13 deficits in our Mishnah, which she undergoes. He's tiny, tiny. It's our boss of Dover. So it's a Tanayim and Umayr, 14 deficits in our Mishnah. Madamar Tetz and Mishlosho, so Dover, he said that she loses 13 things. Avad Bim Tziyosu Maise De'achado. They say that when it says that she, that neither one of them can get her Mitzia, something she finds, or her handiwork, that's one thing, Mitzia and handiwork. Madamar Barabos or Dover, you said 14 things. He said each one of those two things, Mitzia, Maisia, there, are two separate categories, and therefore it's 14 categories as opposed to 13. Period. Okay, new sugya. Well, not now, it's all the same sugya, but the new tangent. Very interesting one. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Levi Hoshizinza Ochel's B'Maiser. Now this is contrary to what we said in the previous parak, and the Gemara is going to pick up on this. In the previous parak, we said, Maiser is Kedusha. We don't pass that way, of course, but the previous parak, we didn't say Maiser is Kedusha, and therefore, if a Levi gets defiled, they can't eat Maiser anymore, right? We are saying, no, a Levi who was Mizana, she was adulterous, she can eat Maiser. The Tani came, we learned this in a Braisa. It says, Levi Shanishbeis O Shabbat, a Levia was taken to captivity, and the person, the Goy, had relations with her. Or anybody who's possible to Levia had relations with her. She doesn't lose Truma as a result. And this is the general principle. Levim who are defiled from their mother, we're not concerned that they're considered to be possible. So two interpretations in the Kormidator. One is that their mothers were halalos. For long as the father is a Levi, even if the mother's chalola, the kid is still a Levi. There's no such thing as a cholo by a Levi, right? That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, which is the Gerul Kormeida gives, which is very interesting, based on the Gemara in Bavli, is that if the father, the mother is a Levia, and the father is a Goy, so the child is a Levi. Because in that case, the Goy is, if he does, is not there. And Levia is so, the Shevet Levi is so strong that it's unlike the other Shvatim, it could pass even by the mother by itself. It's a fascinating concept. Okay?
That's not true for Kohen.
It's not true by anything. No, it's not true by anything. Only by Levia. Because it's like a Kohen would pass too, but it's defiled. The Kohen is defiled by having relations with the Goy, right? But Levia is stronger, and that's what can be passed down, and on the other hand, it's not defiled by having relations with the Goy, so that's why, that's how it would work, which is a very, very interesting chiddush, if it's true. Okay? Says Mara further, Vatinan, asked Mara, you said that's true, didn't we learn, Bas Levi Mina Maise? We learned that there's a Levia who's defiled from meeting Maiser. Right, and so it's the father being Meiser, if she has meaning, and that's in the previous pair, where it says if she's married to Yisroel, then she can't eat Meiser anymore. How could that be? We just said Levia is very hardy. She can't get rendered unfit, right? So it says Mar Mevasiti Pater Shabal La Yisroel, the other men of Ben. I'll tell you where that happens. Not because of her husband or whoever has relations with her. That doesn't render her unfit. But if she has a kid from a husband who's not a Levi, who's not a Goy either, so that kid renders her unfit to eat Maiser. Why is that? Because now she's ready the mother of Israel. To be the wife of Israel doesn't impinge upon her from eating Truma, according to Maiser, according to Gemara, but to be the mother of Israel does impinge upon her.
Similar to Kohenis.
Well, Kohenis, even she's married to Israel, can't eat Truma.
Right. Right, once she has
the strip. No, but even the marriage itself. Even that's not yeah. But here the marriage itself doesn't do it, it's only the child. Okay? Of course we don't pass the candidates, because we pass the Abraham came miser. But that's the interesting Ushami. Says more, Bray Bisno Mashari Rishum Levi says, Kohenes Shizinas, a very cool Gemara. Rabbi Mashari Rishum Levi said, Kohenes Shizinas, a Kohenes who was Mizana. So she can't be a Kohenis anymore, right? But she doesn't drop down two levels. She doesn't become Israeli. She becomes a Levia, right? Ochos b'maiser, she can eat maiser. But lo mas isa, isn't that obvious from the Mishnah in the previous paragraph? It says, bas koin mina truma. A bas koin is defiled when she has forbidden relations from truma. Or mi maiser ochos. It sounds like she can't eat maiser. Says my commander, ain't nice in my lukuna. This is going that we're going according to opinion that holds he can't normally give miser to kuna. Nevertheless, when she drops down a level, then you can give her miser when she drops down a level because of her having had a improper relations.
So this shows that the miser does not have kedusha.
What?
Does
this
show that...
No, it has Kedusha. Because she has to be a Kohenis Pesul. She has to start up being Kohenis.
Yeah. But on the other hand, she's a Zona.
Yeah, so Kohenis plus Zona. So she goes at one level to Levia. That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. So it's quasi-Kedusha, not full Kedusha, not a lack of Kedusha going to this Gemara. So it says, Amrei Nasa said, Milei on the Rabbanan Pliyin. The words of the rabbis argue and say that she drops down all the way. Where is that? The Amar Rabbi Hillel b'Shem ben Yosina b'Shem Rabbi Yoshi said, "Koench b'la grusha." Very interesting case. According, it seems that it's a Bavli, but I don't remember it. According, has relations with a divorcee, Voli Ben, and he has a kid. Umeisa b'tol shloshim, and the father dies in the first 30 days of his kid's birth. Haben chayv luftos is atzmo. The kid has to redeem himself. Pidyon haben. La'achar shloshim yom chazaka shepadoya ovi. After 3 days, we assume that his father redeemed him. Because im la'achem, well, why are we saying? Because fathers are diligent about this, even particularly kohanim. Im la'achem po'adeh, since kohanim are diligent to redeem others, lo'kosh came know he'd certainly be aware to be redeemed his son. So the Mei Chamayim has a very interesting interpretation of this proof here. Very cute. He says that if it were true that a Kohen, when defiled, goes down, is ratcheted down only one notch to Levi, so then the kid shouldn't require Pidyon HaBen. Because the kid is true, is Nischala, because it was a Kohen with a Grusha, but it should be at least a Levi, and as a Levi, he should be parted from Pidyon HaBen. Since it's Pidyon HaBen, it means you drop down two notches. You drop down from a Kohen all the way down to Yisrael. So you must argue also in the previous corner that a bad daughter of a Kohen, who had B.S. Nus, had a licentious relations, drops down all the way to Yisrael and loses therefore right even to Eden Meitzer.
Also, I don't recall that a Kohen drops down to a Levi in Avoda.
No, nothing like that.
So that would be the same thing.
Right, it seems that we paskin like, I mean, we paskin all the way. Right. Okay, true. Which is a Kiddush, though, because you would think that they go down to Levi. It's probably, you know, because the Levi, who's Mizana, still remains a Levi, right? But a Kohen who's Mizana, you know, the higher they are, the farther they fall, right? So since he starts up higher, when he falls down further.
Since we live here, don't want those kind of...
Okay. Says a lot further. Came back to Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, neither, let's say, there's a halacha called Ksuvas Banim Dikrin, which is that if a child, if a mother predeceases a father, or if a wife predeceases her husband, so ksuva, she can write a document which allows her ksuva, which she doesn't get because she died first, to go to her children, to her male children. It's called ksuvas b'nei dikrin. So you can't write that here. You can't do this in this case because no ksuvas b'nei dikrin, because she has no rights whatsoever, not even to pass it on to her heirs. So says Mar Vlok Fartinisa, that we learn already in Luxuva that she doesn't get a ksuva. Says Mar Rabbi Yossi ben Yaakov Shlo Tomar. No, if I would not have told you that ksuva is banim dichrim, that which allots the ksuva to her heirs doesn't work, I would have said ba kansu. They only find her Vlok kansu yasher. They didn't find her to her heirs. So therefore, so you shouldn't come to that conclusion. That's why I have to tell you that they find her heirs as well. That her heirs can get it as well. That she doesn't get ksuva, and also that her heirs don't get the ksuva either. Okay, now getting back to a really yavama sugi of Tilda for a while. Sota kishem she asula baal kachi asula boel. This we know. A woman had an adulterous relation, though she was married to her husband. She's also to her husband, and she's also to the paramour, right? To her adulterer, right? Kishem, now, that's a given. That's easy, right? Now it gets complex. Kishem she asur la'achiv shabal, kachi asur la'achiv shaboel. She can't marry the brother of her husband, right? She's no longer if her husband dies and childless, there's no yibum, because she was adulteress. She's also to husband, she's also to the yibum. So too, if her lover dies, she's also to her lover's brother. It's reflexive. It's, you know, whatever the principle is, it reflects each other, okay?
Even though she wasn't married to her.
Right, even though, right, exactly. It's a fascinating concept, right? Yachu Kashem Shitzora Saita Asura Lachim Shah. Let's, we take it even a step further. The Tzora of a Sota, in other words, a man was married to two wives, one of which was licentious, right? Then he drops dead. So her, the both wives, both the Sota and the co-wife, are also to be Misyabim, right? So do we say it also by the Boel, by the paramour, right? Yol Gashem Shitzora Saita Asura Lachim Shabal, just like the co-wife of a Sota, of the adulterous woman is forbidden to her brother-in-law if her husband dies childless. Kachte asur l'achim shaboel. Do I say that the co-wife of the sota is usher to the brother of the lover? Now, this is talking about, of course, a case where the lover married her despite the prohibition, right? He's not allowed to marry her, but he went and married her anyway after her husband divorced her, after her husband died. And he had another wife, the Boel, right? He had his own wife and this woman who with whom he had the adulterous relations, who he married now subsequently. So then he drops dead, as he should. So then what happens? Can his brother be Miyabim, at least the co-wife, right? So that's what Gemara is asking. Is that clear? Let's hear from our case. Says Mara, Isha Shal Balam Dina Sayom. Our Mishnah. Woman went, her husband went to Chutz Lanz. Ramulan, they came back and they said to her, Meis Balach, your husband died. Now case deviates. It's actually a Bryson, not our Mishnah. Vayala Yavam Khan. She has a Yavam. Okay, her husband dies. So she goes to the brother, lives with the brother-in-law, right? V'yibma. Umeis. Then the Yavam dies. The Yavam actually does drop dead. This is a real death. V'chakach bo bala. And now her husband comes back. But the plot thickens. In the meantime, the brother whom she had been misyabemis in the absence had another wife. Okay? So there were two wives here. Okay? So she was married to Reuven. Reuven drops dead, or allegedly drops dead, we don't know. She goes and she meets Sebems to Shimon. Shimon now has this wife, who's his Yavama, and another wife. Now Shimon drops dead. Reuven comes back. So Reuven's original wife can't go back to Reuven, right? That's obvious, because she's a Sota, right? Can Reuven's other wife be Sebems? Can Shimon's other wife be Misyabemis to Reuven, right? That's the question. So says the Gemara concerning that case, Aser ba umuta b'tzarasa. Reuven may not remarry his own prior wife, but he's allowed to marry the co-wife.
But she's a
Sota,
but the original wife is a
Sota.
So how could...
No, I'm sorry. You're right. We'll come back and say, I made a mistake. First thing I made is a mistake. If Reuven still had another wife, I apologize, that's the next line I'm going to just translate. If Reuven still had another wife, so he's allowed to remain with his other wife. Well, and okay. All of them, I'm Farshim asking, of course he's allowed to remain with his other wife. It goes without saying, right? She didn't do anything wrong. So I don't know. They don't want to give an answer. They just say it's a setup for the next case, which is what I just told you. Oster boy is not allowed to marry his wife, remit to take his wife, who in the meantime was misyabim to his brother, but a mutzer beish sachiv is allowed to take his brother's other wife who fell before him. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Now, says the Gemara, now we're going to get to brass tacks. Veishes achiv, I understand. Isn't his brother's other wife lo katzara soitahi? That's your question, right? Isn't she like the co-wife of a soita? Now, let's bear in mind something here. This is all dealing with fiction. This is all fiction here. Because is she's not a co-wife of a sota because the yibum was not about yibum. The only way, the more I ask you a question, more, but we have to be aware, it's all a Marisayan issue. In other words, the fact that Reuven's wife was Misa Bemis to Shimon was a fictitious transaction, because Reuven was still alive and well, he just wasn't around, right? But the Gemara is saying, well, based on the principle of our Mishnah, that we view it as if it was a valid marriage, because of what we said earlier this evening, that maybe Reuven, people are going to think that Reuven, you know, that Reuven died and that it was a legitimate Yibum. So therefore, we treat it as fictitiously as if Shimon was married simultaneously to the Sota and to his own wife, right? And then, vice versa, then the question is, when Reuven comes back, why can Reuven take Shimon's other wife, Hai she's a Tzora Soita, right? That's the Gemara's question, right? So it's all based on the fiction that there actually was a valid Yibum. That we understand, right? The Yibum was actually not valid, right? But nevertheless, see, the Gemara says, Veshachim, lo ket Tzora Soita, isn't she like a Tzora Soita? Her Damras teaches us, must be she Tzora Soita. Muteres lachishabal. It teaches us that the co-wife of a sota is permitted to the brother of the lover, because that's really what's happening here. Reuven, Shimon vis-a-vis Reuven is like an adulterer, right? It's true, it's unintentional, but Shimon vis-a-vis Reuven is like an adulterer, right? And therefore, and now when Reuven wants to take the co-wife of his own wife who was Misya Bemes improperly to Shimon. So he is the Achiv Shoboel, the brother of the person who was an adulterer, right? Taking the co-wife of the adulterous wife. And it says here it's mutter. So therefore we see that the brother can take the co-wife of the adulterous
one. The cases are different because this was the Shem Mitzvah. This Yibum occurred the Shem Mitzvah.
Right, we're not differentiating though.
Was pure adultery.
Right, but we're not differentiating. That's exactly the parallel. Because we're looking at, because we saw in our missionary that we even though theoretically everything here was done lishma, but we throw the book at them.
Okay,
we keep it to here too. We say, you know, yeah, it's true they had the utmost high kavanas, but tough luck, you know. We look at the case as the case appears to us without the sentiments. Okay? So that's how we're taking it. So again, we see, Adam Rashid Tzara Saitim, Utar Sachim Shabo. Am Rabbi Yudhavita said, no, it's not the same thing. Asian Kirabanan de Tamon. This is going like the rabbis over there. The rabbis over there hold that this is the different case. We had this back at Nundalun base, Nundalun Gemel base. That they, one of the rabbis over there say the Tamu Karbona Tamon, Tam Rabbi Hila. The Rabbi Hila said, "We talked them. We learned over there in Bavel. Kol Rice Einan Tzurchus Menu Get and Chutz Meishes Hish Bilvad." The only time a get is required from the second husband is when we have a case like our Mishnah where the first husband is presumed dead and she married somebody else. And there she can't go back to the first husband and she needs a get because she needs a get from the second husband, right? Because we threw the book at her. However, our case over here is a case where, like you differentiated, it's a case of Yibu, right? And by Yibu, it doesn't fit the same criteria as our Mishnah. So this doesn't fit the same criteria. Mishnah doesn't require a get. Since it doesn't require a get, that's why the Reuven could take Shimon's co-wife. But it's not comparable to a case where there is a full-blown get required because there was a true adulterous relationship, right? Here was a mistake, and that's why no get is required. But when there's a true adulterous relationship, and the sota's got to get divorced, right? And she's in her marriage to the Boel is a real and bad marriage, maybe there, taka. The Tzara's Soita, the Kohen Sota, is forbidden to the brother of the adulterer, as opposed to over here, where it's all, where it was all done under other types of pretext, of legitimate pretext, and maybe here it's not comparable, okay?
This makes more sense.
Now, Rebbe, well, of course, it makes sense to you because that's the way you hold. But the one is immediately going to reject that. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Akiva says, and now this you also had before, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Af Achos Ishto. Also, this case requires, well, not Achos Ishto, also a case where you mistakenly marry your wife's sister requires a get. Ve'eshesach. And our case over here, where you mistakenly are miyabim, your brother's co-wife, your brother's wife, does require a get. And continuing along this line, Baran Karbanan Dehacha, like the rabbis over here in Eretz Yisrael, who holy Rabbi Akiva, to require a get. So, quite to that perspective, it is a good raya, because that means that here that we regard, if we regard the second, the yavam. From the Yavam she requires a get. Well, I should say from the Yavam she married. Where the Yavam still alive? Of course, Shimon is dead now. But where Shimon's still alive, she would require a get in order from Shimon, right? So that means that we do regard the Yibum situation as if it was a true adulterous situation. And if we say that despite that, in our case, she can go back to Reuven, so that would be evidence that. For the, again, the Tzora, not she can go back to Reuven. If we said, despite that, her co-wife can be married to Reuven, so that would be evidence that the co-wife of a Sota, who's married to the adulterer, can also be taken by the brother. Okay? So again, it depends who you hold like. If we hold like you, that since it's Yibum, it's a different situation, it's a mitigating circumstance, so therefore there's no way to extrapolate from here to a case where an adulterer takes his woman, the adulteress, and when the adulterer dies, his brother can do Yibum on the remaining wife, because that's a case where there's true adultery, and this is only a case where there's a mistaken evil. But if we hold Rabbi Akiva, that we give us all the severity of true adultery, and that therefore, if Shimon is still alive and Reuven come back, Shimon actually has to give a get to this woman, so then it is a valid proof. That's what we're saying. And then that would prove to us that Tzoras Soita, the co-wife of a Sota, is permitted to marry the brother of the adulterer. If over here we see that the co-wife of Shimon is permitted to Reuven after Shimon dies, okay? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Achia b'shem Amar b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Achia says the name Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Achia, the name of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, is really explaining the position of the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, which is that we throw the book even in the case of Yibum, right? They say she requires a get. Why is that? Mishum, because Mishum here the Kormeida changes gears. If you take a look at the top line, Kormeida changes it to Mishum Hilchos Eishes Ish Karnaba, because and since he acquires her, so therefore it's far worse and requires a get. Says Mar, oh wait a second. Maybe Dr. Spell was right after all, says the Mar. Not quite. That's not what it says here. But listen, maybe that already makes it not comparable for another reason. Because if I look at it as with all the severity of our Mishnah, so then it should Erva he, right? It says Erva on top line should be Erva he. A Sota is not an Erva. It's prohibited to the Boel, but it's not an Erva. But if you look at this woman, Reuven, the wife of Reuven, who thought Reuven was dead, if you look at her with all the severity, as if she, when she married Shimon, right, as if she was fully married to Shimon, and that's why she needs a get from both, which is like what the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael hold, despite the fact that they thought they were doing Yibum, we throw the book at her. That's far worse than a Sota. You've upped the ante so dramatically that you can't extrapolate anymore to Sota either. It's true, according to the rabbis in Chutzot and Bavel, you can't extrapolate from Yibum to Sota because Yibum was not so terrible, right? They thought they were doing the right thing. But on the other hand, if you require a get, then you've upped it, you can't extrapolate either. Because the reason why she can't go back, the reason why, It's simply not comparable case anymore, because she now, whatever you say in this case, it's not comparable to Tzora Soita, because here she became now Midrabanan and Erva on her first husband, right? Because she requires a get from Shimon, where Shimon's still alive, she requires a get from Shimon. So how can you compare to Tzora Serva, right? Right? The Erva Poteres Tzorasa, you know? An Erva, if she's an Erva, so she mamish Potter's her Tzara, right? And a Tzara should be forbidden altogether, right? And the truth is, the whole Brisa now is up to Pete. Because the Brisa says that Shimon's co-wife can go to Reuven and be Mitzabemis. That shouldn't be true. If you look at Reuven's wife who was Mitzabemis to Shimon, as if she was an Ashes each, who was forbidden to Shimon, and therefore she requires a get from Shimon, and can't go back to Reuven either, so she's mamish and erva here to Reuven, to Shimon. She's mamish and erva to Shimon, yet married to Shimon, so then her co-wife, right, mamish and erva to Reuven. She's mamish and erva to Reuven, and married to Shimon. Of course, she's not really married to Shimon because Reuven is still alive. But we give her we look at her as if she was married to Shimon, and that's where she requires a get from Shimon. So her co-wife, right, Shimon's other wife, is a Tzara Serva. How could she be married to be Misabemis to Reuven after Shimon dies, right? This is the whole price is cockamamie. Forget about Rias back and forth to Tzara Soita. It doesn't make any sense anymore, right? How could she go back to Reuven? So says the Gemara, she can go back. How can the co-wife go to Reuven? So Rabbi China, says, I feel the Krabban and the Achasi. You know, the word Bryce works out even according to the rabbis over here. You know why? Bakonsu vlokonsu should be bitzarosa. Look, the whole thing is the Rabbanan. We're dealing with, she's not really married to Shimon, right? You're looking as if she's married to Shimon, so she should need a get, right? And why are you making her get from Shimon, even though she's still married to Reuven the whole time? We thought Reuven's dead, but he wasn't, right? But that's only a bluff. The Rabbanah made that up in order to ensure that she doesn't go back to Reuven. But in reality, she never was married to Shimon. So therefore, it's not a true Tzoras Erva, right? It's not a true Erva. She wasn't married to Shimon. So therefore, Shimon's other wife is not a true Tzoras Erva. So when they made this the Rabbanan Gezerah to bluff it up, you know, to bloat it up as if she was married to Shimon, that she required a get, they made a Gezerah on her, but they didn't make a Gezerah on her Tzora. So therefore, the co-wife can go and be Mizabemis to Reuven. Okay? Again, because this whole thing is wrong, the Rabbanans and the Rabbanans and the Rabbanans. Because Midaraisa, just go back to Reuven and forget about Shimon. But Midarabbanan, we made it as if she was married to Shimon, and she requires a get from Shimon according to the Rabbanan Eretz Yisrael, right? Not the Rabbanan Bavel. They hold like you. She doesn't require a get because it's only evil. But when Rabban, she requires a get. But that get is only since it's all just made up, so therefore her tzara can be Mr. Bemis. Amnechina Breid Rav Hillel, Echina son of Rav Hillel said, Ink Rabbanan de Tamon, hey, like the rabbis in Bavel, like Dr. Smidel. Yeah, Mutterba. Why can't she go back to her husband? It's only Yibum. Why can't she go back to her husband? She thought she was doing the right thing, right? The mother doesn't answer. It's a good question. Yeah. Okay? We don't know. But the rabbis said she can. We don't know why not, but she can. Okay? But that's the ultimate result of your sentimental approach to it. Okay? No, they don't have refutations. It makes sense from that perspective. Rabbi Zeir B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Tzora Sota Asura, getting back to the actual crux of the issue, the co-wife of a Sota is forbidden to her, to the brother of the Boel, to the brother of the adulterer, the Tzora is Grusha Muteris. If, however, let's say somebody had a woman he divorced, she got married to somebody else, then he took her back, right, and then her husband dies and leaves two wives, so the co-wife is mutter to be Mesiah Bemis. Okay, Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov Aracha, B'Shem Rabbi, I think it's Rabbi Yaakov Aracha, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol Tzoros Mutaros. Now there are many Tzoros, it doesn't mean literally all Tzoros are Mutaros. It means the Tzora of an island is his mutter. There are certain Tzoros which are permitted, right? The co-wife of certain types of prohibitions are permitted to be misabemes, such as if one wife is an islandess, the other wife can be misabemes, other case like that. But chutz mitzara sota, tzara sota is forbidden. The co-wife of a sota is forbidden to go and be misabemes, both by the brother of the husband who had the adultery committed against him, and by the brother of the boel. Shmuel Amar, Grusha Atzma Muteres L'Beisa. This is an interesting thing. If a person took back his Grusha improperly, he wasn't supposed to, and then he died, the brother is allowed to be Miyabimer. Because that Isser is a situational Isser. Only on him, but the brother can take her. It's a fascinating thing, right? Says the Gemara, Ma Polik. What is Shmuel arguing? What does Shmuel say about Tzoros Sota? Says, no. Begin to have an asking with Tzoros, Lo Arkin Grushos. Since they were talking about the other ones, they were talking about Tzoros, they weren't talking about the Grushos themselves. But in Echnami, it could be the everybody gives a Shmuel that she's Muteris Lisiya Ben. Tzoros Sota Lomi Asura. Why is the co-wife of a Sota forbidden? Everybody knew it's not. Well, I shouldn't say. Rabbi Yochanan told the Rabbanan, "Meireach erba nagubah." It sounds like an erba. She's not really an erba. It's stringent prohibition. It's like an erba. Shmecked, smells bad. So therefore, we don't allow it. Rav Nesh Kusabat to Makarais. Rav says, "According to Ridbaz, it is a daraisa because it says a sota v'nisra v'nitma, and therefore she's like an erba, and therefore her co-wife is forbidden to be misyabim midaraisa, not just midrabbanan." Okay?
It's guilt by association.
Yeah. Now, the Mishnah goes on to bring that everybody who argues on the first Mishnah says we don't throw the book at the second wife. That's what the Mishnah is about to do. But the truth is we don't pass them like any opinion in the second Mishnah. We pass and throw the book. I said second wife, that's the second husband. We throw the book. But right, all these guys have more rachmanis. All these guys who don't paskin like Rabbi Yosef Ksubasan Nichse Baal Rishon. She does get a ksuba from her first husband. Rabbi Yosef Rishon Zakeh Mitzvah Maaseh Deah. The first husband still gets whatever she finds, whatever handiwork she has, and can cancel her vows. Rabbi Shimon Omer Biyosef Chalitzasa Meachiv Rishon. If she has either relations or the yibum or chalitza from the brother of the first one. Then Potter sir is saying then nobody else, no other co-wife requires chalitz or yibum. Vein avlamim and a mamzer, and the child from the first husband also is not a mamzer. Now we don't pass the kibum. We're machmir. All these things doesn't do any good. Period. No. Now the other question. Nisei shelo birshus. What if she gets married without the permission of Beis Din? Now, without permission of Beis Din, it doesn't mean she wasn't allowed to get married. She wasn't allowed to get married, but she didn't need Beis Din to pass the matter. In that case, if she had two witnesses that her husband died. Two witnesses, not just one. And two witnesses, she doesn't need Beis Din's permission. They're two witnesses that her husband died. They broke the line. But she thought she was okay, right? These are Shalom Yishus. Mutas Lach Zorlo, she can go back to her first husband. We don't pass this way either. Don't worry. Okay? These is how be Beis Din. If she only had one aid, and if she had Beis Din to allow her to get remarried, then Teitze, she's got to get divorced, as the first Mishnah said. However, interestingly, I skipped the line, right? No, I didn't. However, Ptur Minah Korban, if Beis Din passed and she can get remarried, then she's exempt from the Korban, because it's Beis Din's fault, right? We don't pass that either. She has to be the Korban.
Basin doesn't bring the
crow. That's what the Mishnah says. Well, we don't pass them like this Mishnah. Then why is going to explain that? Shalom be Basin, if it's not a Basin, to say so. So Basin doesn't have liability. Tate says she got divorced, but Tate's carbon, she has to bring carbon herself. Yavikach shal Basin shal ptur min ha-carbon. So the Basin, when Basin's matir, so in a way it's better because she's part of the carbon according to this Mishnah, we don't pass it. A rule basically has to know what a basic pastor get remarried. But she didn't get remarried. Kukla, she went and she was Mizana. She went and just had a good time, right? No. Chayev's the carbon. Then she herself has been carbon anyway. Why? Shaloi Thrill and Usa. They gave a dispensation to go get married, but not to go fool around. Okay? Rabbi Bar, Rabbi Nuna, Rabbi Zira, Tarvey, and Army, they both said, Hazel Rosh Hashoperek. This is It's not in our case. In the case later in the parak, they said, it's like the beginning of the parak, meaning like this case. In other words, the case later on in the parak is like the case we're learning here, which is the Rosh Hashanah parak. What does Rabbi Yossi say about all the rest of the stuff? It says, Ksuvish gets her first husband. But what about all the other 12 things mentioned in the first Mishnah? So Nishmini min adot are now from here. Rabbi Yossi, and this is the case later on in the parak. Rabbi Yossi, Koshu posai de'acherim, anytime he parcels other people, meaning the first husband renders her unfit to a second husband, which is the case, so he loses everything himself. Anytime he doesn't pass anybody else, because there is no second husband, in cases later on in the parak, he doesn't pass for himself. But here, since there are two husbands, and the second husband loses because of the first husband, so he loses everything, and therefore all Rabbi Yossi holds is that she gets a ksuva. But everything else, she loses, he loses, all other relationships are severed. That's the case of our parak, which means that teaches us lo choluk Rabbi Yossi b'shar kol dvarim. Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue that everything else she loses except for the ksuva. Only the ksuva he holds she gets from the first husband.